Anybody ever procrastinated before?
Yeah, all the time.
Every day. All right. Well, after this sermon, you'll never do it again. We got so much talking. I don't know. What is procrastination? Delaying what you know you need to do. You put it off, and you know you need to do it, and you just don't do it. And then it becomes too late. Proverbs chapter 6. We are in Proverbs chapter 6. So sometimes you can procrastinate and the consequences aren't that big. Other times they are very costly. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's see, announcements. I'm not looking at them, but this Sunday is Easter. It's the Easters. And there is, okay, that was the other thing. So no evening service this Sunday. There will be no evening service this Sunday, okay? No evening service this Sunday. There will be both morning services. There will be Sunday school. There will be Sunday at 11 o'clock. But yes. Oh, man. All right. Proverbs chapter 6. So there's some good sermons in nature. The Lord told some parables using nature and some of the systems and patterns in nature. And there's just a lot of wisdom in nature. And so I think about that before I read this. Like Bethany and I were talking about this the other day, about the way, when you think about creation and animals and insects and things like that, and versus the technology that's available that humans have, that people have made, when you compare the two, animals, creatures, bugs, and when you really start to think about these, the way they work and their systems and their, it's so complicated. There's so much involved. It is, I mean, when the Lord created everything, there was such superior, I'll just use the word technology. I mean, it was just so superior to anything that man, he spent thousands of years, and he comes up with things that sort of replicate nature, sort of copy some things in nature. But I don't know. We're it was funny. We're just talking about man creating, like, airplanes, helicopters, things that can fly. And God had created things that could fly thousands of years ago. And not only that, he made those things that can fly to reproduce themselves. Like, I've never seen an American Airlines plane reproduce itself, you know. And these things, they live, and they, I mean, it's just such superior technology. So all that said, this is it goes along with what we're about to talk about. One of the proverbs here, Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Let's pray. And the instruction is to consider the ant. If you've ever put something off that what was the word I asked y'all about a while ago? Procrastination. It's out of my mind. Procrastination. Even the ant knows, and this little creature in nature knows, there's a time coming when I'm going to be hungry. And so I have to prepare while I can prepare so that when that time comes, I will have food. And it's naturally in this creature. And so the Lord says, or through Solomon, says, look, if you're a lazy bum, if you're sluggish, and you tend to just lay on the bed, and like he says later on, as a sluggard, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard just turns in the bed. You know, it's just like that's what they do all day. And so it says, if you're a sluggard, you're sluggish, a sluggish person, lazy, and laziness leads to poverty. It says you need to consider the ant. Consider this, because there's some preparation that needs to be made. But let's pray, and we'll talk about this. Consider the ant. Consider the ant. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for this time together, and I pray that you'd help us tonight. Again, dealing with some really practical stuff that is useful in life. It's useful even after life, after at least these bodies fail. There's preparations made in this life. There's preparations that can be made and need to be made now for the future and for eternity. And so I pray that you would guide us through this study. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So notice the word sluggard there shows up a couple times. And this is kin to sluggish, just laziness. And it leads to, in these verses, it leads to poverty. It leads to somebody not having something they should have because they didn't prepare for it. And so when the time came and they needed this thing that they didn't prepare for, obviously they don't have it. So Solomon says, go to the ant, go to verse 6. And I got 3 points here about a very practical matter that is both practical in life, but it's also practical for a sinner to prepare to meet God. But we'll apply that in a second. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, and really through verse 8 are the description of this ant. And the ant, the advantage this and the wisdom that's found in this little creature is that she understands that she has to make preparations for the inevitable thing that's coming. It's like you know this is coming. And just to make a real quick application, I mean, how many of you are like this? It may not for everything, but in some things you might be. But you would rather put this thing off and sort of wait till the drama happens, then deal with all the drama. And for some reason, that's the way some people want to do it. Well, in that case, that's not this. This doesn't go away. This doesn't go away. So, it really is. It's like a scale in your mind. It's like, do I want to deal with this now? Or do I want to just put it off and just deal with it later? Yes, it'll be much more difficult to deal with later, but I just don't really want to deal with it now. And I think that's sort of the decision that a lot of folks make. And you can see and some of it. I just don't understand some of these decisions, because when you can see the clear explosion that's about to happen, you know it's going to happen, but you just sit back and you're like, you know, I just don't really want to deal with it now. I'll just wait till the thing just explodes in my face, and then I just try to pick up the pieces. And Solomon says, that's not really a good way of dealing with stuff. That's not really a good way of dealing with stuff. And I don't know, kind of jokingly about some of this stuff, but it becomes a serious matter. I think about people as far as preparation goes, and I'll make a serious application to it. You know, I know most of y'all probably talk to folks about the Lord, and the comments have been, for instance, I'll wait to see what happens after I die. And whenever that happens, I'm sure God will figure it out for me and, you know, be good to me. But I'll just wait to see what happens. And there's no waiting to see really what happens. God has already told you what happens. So the judgment is already there. So there's nothing to wait on. There is, however, something to prepare for. Like in Amos, he says, prepare to meet thy God. That's something you know is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's just absolutely inevitable that this is going to happen one day. And so with that inevitability, just like this ant, just a simple illustration. If you're sluggish, if you're lazy, if you're a bum, go outside, watch this ant, and watch how this ant prepares. Doesn't have anybody telling her what to do. Doesn't have anybody guiding and saying, you need to do this and you need to do that. But these ants understand, in wintertime or sometime in the future, I am going to get hungry and I'm going to need food. And if I don't gather food now, I will not have it when I get hungry. And so what do the ants do? They march along, they spend time in the gathering in the harvest time, and they gather their food and they've stored in their little nests and stuff like that. And that way when wintertime comes and there's no food, everything's dead, they just snack and sit around in their little house and they eat what they've already provided for themselves. It's a simple illustration. So verses 6-8. The point is with this little, I've heard somebody say this little sermon on six legs here. The point of this is you need to learn to prepare for something that is clearly coming. It's common sense, some of it's spiritual sense, but it's no surprise that this event is going to happen. Whatever the event is, for the ant, it's hunger. I know this is coming. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's education. It's a job. Sometimes you want to move out of the house. Some future event. You know it's going to happen. And we can even take it as far as to say, you know, one day you're going to meet God. You're going to stand before God. And so all of this inevitable crucial point in the future, this thing that's going to happen in the future, you know it's going to happen. Therefore, it is foolish not to prepare for it. It's foolish to wait around and say, well, we'll just kind of figure it out whenever it happens. Because when that time comes around, there won't be any figuring out. Because if the ant, you go back to this little ant, and if the ant doesn't gather anything when it's time to gather, when wintertime comes and there's no food, there's nothing to gather. When you stand before God and you haven't prepared to meet God, there's no preparations to be made at that point. So preparation for what is clearly coming. He says this, he says in verse 6, go to the ant, go. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider. So there's another verb there. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and here's another verb here, be wise. Be wise. And so it's a great sermon, really, in nature. It's this, and really, no matter what kind of ant One thing you learn about these ants is they all know how to prepare. They just know how to prepare. Prepare for a, we used to get these, I don't know, when we were with teaching teens and stuff like that, and kids would say, can you pray for me? I've got a test on Monday. And we'll be like, did you study for it? No. Okay, well, prayer isn't going to help you at this point. Unless you're just really smart, prayer isn't going to help you at this point. The point is, responsibility once again falls on you and I to prepare for something that is inevitable. Maybe it's a test, maybe it's, like I said, events in life, things like that. People say, I want to get married. That's a common thing. You know, I want to get married. Well, you know what you need to be before you get married? You need to be the right husband. You need to be the right kind of wife. You need to be the right kind of man. You need to be the right kind of woman. It's not just, I just want this thing so that my life will be complete. No, you need to prepare for that. Because that decision is a big decision. And once that decision happens, if the character isn't prepared, if the life isn't prepared, there's already enough trouble and already enough things that happen in life that can derail and can come at you from, you know, all kinds of different angles. And so there's enough of that without you bringing it on yourself. So these inevitable times in your life, things you know are going to happen. And unfortunately, we're dealing with a sluggard who doesn't deal with any of these things, and they just, it's so easy now. I mean, you just lay in bed and you play video games, or you sit in your room and you play video games all day, or whatever the case is. You watch TV, or, I mean, it's just that you can just literally get nothing done for hours, and then it comes time where you need to have something done. You need to be prepared for the test. You need to be prepared for this part of life. You need to be prepared for this thing. And it was inevitable from the beginning. It was going to happen. So he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. What is that? That's preparation. That's preparation. And then verse 9. So the point is very simple in verses 6 through 8. You need to prepare for what's clearly coming. This is an inevitable fact of life. And it can be a small thing, or it can be as big as prepare to meet thy God one day. And how do you do that? Well, you're going to need righteousness. And you're going to need righteousness that you don't have. You need God's righteousness. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal life, who is the righteousness of God. You need his righteousness. And so that's preparation. The Lord has made it so that you can prepare for that. So prepare for what's clearly coming. Prepare for, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because the next point is this in verse 9. He asks a couple questions. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Some of y'all, some of us, some people, when it comes to spiritual things, you're asleep. There's no understanding. There's very little, and the reason is there's no preparation. And there's no consideration that, hey, I'm going to need this. I need this part of my life. I need this in my life. And so there is, I think of Paul in Romans. He talks about awake, O sleeper. Just talking to folks who are supposedly Christians, but it's just like, awake, wake up. How long? Here's the questions. How long wilt thou sleep? How long are you going to put this off? How long are you going to ignore the obvious? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Here's the what will be, or when will be the when will you be motivated? Say, well, I'm too young. Maybe I'm just not interested in this stuff. I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in the things of God. I'm just not interested. So here's the question: when will you be? When will that day come? How long will you sleep through it? Because I guarantee you, someone like this doesn't have an answer to that. They can't say, okay, well, 3 years down the road, I'll get my life straight, and I'll start taking some things seriously and all that. No, the question is, how long? And the point of the question is, when will you be motivated by something you need to be motivated by? The problem is you're not motivated by the right thing. And you need to be. When will you be motivated? You know this is coming. So why are we putting it off? Here's another thought on that. What else can possibly be done to get you to move? Say, well, I don't know. You know, I gotta live my life first. I gotta, whatever the case is, I got all this stuff to do. I got this stuff to do. No. Consider the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And this may be a physical thing, or a spiritual thing. I'm really applying to spiritual matters because there's so much sleep when it comes to spiritual things now. Just people asleep. And so it is. The question is, if you're not motivated now, when will you be motivated? At what point in time? What will be the turning point? What is going to be required in your life? And with that question, when you think about it, you don't have an answer because you don't know. Why? Because when it comes to spiritual matters, we're just sluggard. Sluggish. I just don't care. I just roll on my spiritual bed like door on the hinges. I just roll back and forth, and it just doesn't matter to me. So he says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" Sounds like sometimes trying to wake up maybe some kids or something. It's time to wake up. Get up. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? At what point in time are you going to be motivated? There can't be really an answer from the sluggard because he doesn't know. How long? When? You notice this sluggard who is sluggish. The only thing this person does is what they do from their bed. They won't get up to do anything. And speaking spiritually, that's you could say some physically too, but apply this stuff. I mean, we need far more spirituality, spiritual people. I mean, people to be spiritual. Think about spiritual things. That proverb, I've been trying to quote it. It says, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Just rolling around in the bed. Got nothing to do. At least they don't think they have anything to do. And Solomon is like, you need to go consider the ant. You need to go consider how to prepare, because there are some things that are inevitable and they're coming. And you know they're coming, but you don't seem to care that they're coming. And then you find out in the last part of this, and hopefully you get it right before this happens, but now you're dealing with the consequences of it in verse 10. Verse 9, it's like you say, not now, then when? When is this going to change? Verse 10 and 11. You find out this laziness, this sleep, it's a thief and it steals from you. Verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's physically true. Somebody who won't work, somebody who won't prepare, will find themselves in a position of having to beg and having to maybe steal just to try to feed themselves because they didn't make preparations. But I also think about this, again, applying it spiritually. There are all kinds of folks walking into churches on a regular basis, even in our church, people who come in regularly, and they haven't prepared their lives spiritually. So they came to a point, a critical juncture in their life, where there was no spiritual preparation, and they made a decision, and now there's this fallout from this decision, or they find out they don't have what they need. They're not equipped for this time in their life. And you spend some time trying to, I mean, you can't go back in the past and equip them. So now we're going to have to teach some basic principles of life. And then in the meantime, maybe feed folks like you would feed a baby. Just it's like, this is where you are. And you haven't prepared. And so now the fallout. Now you're in this position where there was no preparation, and now you find yourself hungry, and you find yourself starving, and you're looking for food, and there's no food, and you thought your ways were good, and hey, I'm just going to live it up, man. I'm just going to live according to my own pleasures and all that stuff. And then you grew up a little bit, and you made some decisions, then you made some more consequential decisions, and then you found out, you know what, I'm hungry now. My life is not what I thought it was, and I need something else, and it's not there. It's like that he's talking about considering this ant. If the ant didn't prepare, you know what happens in winter? The ant is hungry. It's just hungry. It happens spiritually. I mean, this is a reality of life. It's also a reality in spiritual life. He says, "Yet a little sleep." Little slumber, little folding of the hands to sleep. What is that? That's like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sleep like this sometimes. Or it's like this. They were doing this. It's like this. Little folding of the hands to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. Little folding of the hands to sleep. Little slumber. Verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's a thief. Something you found out, something stole from you now. The thing you were supposed to have at this time in your life, you don't have. Maybe it was, just to make it a physical application, maybe it was a job you need. Maybe it was an education you need. Maybe it was something you needed. And you came to this point in your life and you found out, I didn't prepare for this. I don't have what I need for this time in my life. Maybe it's a spiritual matter. You just find out that overall, when it's all coming out in the wash, that being lazy is a thief. Being lazy steals things from you. Because being lazy winds you up at a future point in your life where you need something that you don't have now. You need it, but you don't have it. The sin of laziness, you find it stole from you. Paul says it this way in the New Testament. In Colossians, this is the opposite of what's going on here, but he says, you get saved, and he talks about redeeming the time. I'm going to make up for lost time. I have lost time now. He says it in Corinthians. He says, being ready to revenge the disobedience. In my former days, I was disobedient. Now I understand. Now the light has turned on. And so now that the light's turned on, I don't want to continue living in the darkness. The light's on, so now I'm ready to revenge the disobedience. What happens in life when you need wisdom, but you haven't cultivated any wisdom? What happens when you need joy, but you haven't cultivated any joy? I mean, it's doing funerals, and it's such a mixed bag between, it's such a difference with lost people versus saved people. And the lost person who hasn't cultivated joy in their life. They've lived for themselves. And there's nothing at that funeral service, at that point in time in these people's lives, that can be said, that can be done to help. Paul says, as saved people, he says, we don't sorrow like they sorrow. I don't sorrow like them. Why? Because there's future, there's hope in Jesus Christ. But with the lost, they haven't cultivated any joy. They haven't tapped into eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so when the time comes, that critical time in life, I mean, when your loved one dies, that is the one time, if any time, you really need joy, that's it. You need joy. And if you haven't cultivated any joy, what you find is emptiness and hopelessness and despair. And some people make very poor decisions when that happens. Somebody they love dies, and what they do is they turn it around on God. Why? It's just hopeless. I don't have any future. I don't know what their future is. I've lost this person. It's just, why, God? And that's the life now that person has prepared for. You know these things happen. You know what's going to happen in life. What happens when you need wisdom, but you haven't cultivated wisdom? What happens when you need joy, but you haven't cultivated any joy? What happens when you need hope, and you haven't cultivated any hope? What happens when you need to be kind, and you haven't cultivated any kindness? I think there probably all of us in this room can think of something we need to do that we're putting off, and it needs to be done. It just needs to be done. I think about somebody told me one time I think we were at Corpus and we were on the seawall maybe passing out tracts or preaching or something like that, and somebody. They were talking about wanting to go, and it was like, well, I think when I get some boldness, I'm going to do it. And I was like, you're never going to get boldness. That doesn't happen that way. You have to just do it. You know what you need to do. And God isn't going to give you something and give you the equipment if you're not going to use it. So you do by faith what you know to do, and then by faith you are equipped now to do the work. It's not, I'm going to be equipped and then I'll have some faith. It's no, it doesn't work backwards. It's you do, and then you'll get what you need. That's not, I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about service and things like that. I think it was a fellow just, it's like, well, you know, whenever I'm ready, I mean, whenever I'm not so scared about it, I think I'll go do it. I'm like, well, you'll never do it. Not with that attitude. It isn't going to happen, because that stuff doesn't go away. That stuff doesn't go away even after you've done it. But that's just an example. It's just, things that need to be done that we put off, and spiritually speaking, We're sluggards. And I mean, again, this can apply physically too. Lazy people are going to be hungry people. I mean, they're just not going to have what they need. Why? Because they just didn't prepare. They didn't prepare for the inevitable things that were going to happen in life. But the same goes spiritually speaking. You didn't prepare for these things. So consequently, your spirit's messed up whenever these important events happen, these inevitable events happen in life. You find out laziness is a thief and it steals from you. So what's the solution? Well, Solomon says at the beginning, go to the ant. You find yourself like this? Well, take a look at nature. Take a look at the ants. And Jesus Christ would use nature multiple times. Talks about provisions. He's like, well, consider the lilies. Consider the sparrows, the birds. The Lord provides for them, and the Lord's clothed the lilies. And I mean, it just looks at nature and says, look, if you would just look around, if you would just get out of your bed and look around, you would see a lot of things are true. You would see a lot of principles and patterns at work. So what's the instruction? Well, consider the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Be wise. There you go. How about that for an instruction? Hey, quit being a fool and be wise. Just be wise. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She makes preparation. She knows it's coming. So she makes preparation. And what is that? That's the solution to the whole thing. Just if you need motivation, go outside and watch. Watch how the animals do it. If you need some motivation, consider creation. Consider some of the things in nature that God made. So particularly this little ant that prepares and knows how to prepare. She knows how to prepare for the inevitable thing. So I hope that's helpful to you. Very practical stuff, like Proverbs, so practical. I think we could probably do a whole sermon on prepare to meet thy God out of that, but I think you got it. You got the idea. But let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for this time together. I pray that you would help us make the application that needs to be made. And if there are things that we need to make a decision on to do or to not do because of the future consequences, I pray that these verses would help encourage and inspire that decision. And so they're your words. You said this, and you said this was the solution to the problem. So I pray that you'd help us with the decisions and the preparations that need to be made in life and future and eternity and all that. So thank you again for all that you've provided us with, blessings and salvation, righteousness and life and light. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.